Thank you, young man. Amen. I appreciate him. Many of you may not know that's one of our bus captains, and I don't know how many other bus captains can sing like that, but we'll let him sing as long as he's a bus captain. Amen. We do appreciate him very much. He's a graduate of our college, went through his 4 years here, and is on staff now. What a blessing to have with Jeremiah Chamberlain on our staff, and not only that, but to just hear him continue to sing and serve in our midst. And I think his mom and dad would say now he's come a long way since the first time that he showed up here in the church. And I remember when we were looking for a baritone for the group. We had three guys in the group. We needed one more. And I said, I don't know. Guys, find somebody that can sing in the dorms. Find somebody, bring them to me. And I did not know that Jeremiah could sing. And I think the other boys had an inkling that he could carry a tune. Amen. And he didn't get it from his dad, I can tell you that. I've heard his dad sing. Amen. And so what a blessing. Amen. It is a blessing to watch young people come and grow in the Lord. And then God do use them mightily. Amen. To bless our hearts. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and go to John chapter number 6. And then if you would take the bulletin or something else that maybe you have in the Bible and stick it there for just a minute. We're going to start there, but then I want you to find, while I give a moment of introduction and maybe prelude to what I'm about to do in preaching, and then find Ecclesiastes, if you would, chapter number 11. All right? Ecclesiastes, chapter number 11. That's going to be in the Old Testament, John chapter 6. To start with, and we'll be in verse 35, and then we'll go to Ecclesiastes this morning. And you say, preacher, what do the two of them have together? Well, I'm glad you asked that this morning. I'm going to do something this morning. You may call it a Sunday night message, but it's Sunday morning, so I'm going to preach it now. Amen? Now, I want you to be aware. Don't go to sleep on me this morning, because I'm going to be throwing stuff at you this morning. All right, I brought some things to throw out. I need audience participation. Now, as I throw some things at you, it will be and it will become ever more clear, I'm going to be throwing bread at you this morning. It's not for you to eat, okay? I don't want you to eat it, all right? I need you to hold on, because you'll ruin the illustration if you eat the bread, all right? You'll ruin the illustration near the end if you eat the bread. Now, I've if you eat this, now, if you're not paying attention, I tried to warn you, and if you go home and say, the preacher didn't even warn me and then hit me in the head with bread, that's not what happened, all right? I warned you that it's going to be coming. I'll probably wave it. You know how it is when you get ready to throw it? You're throwing. You know, have you ever, everybody seen baseball? You kind of take the ball and you do that a couple times before you throw it. That's just to make sure they're awake before you let it go, all right? So I'm probably going to double pump on the bread a couple times when I see you're not looking at me, and then I'll throw it. Now, it's kind of like a disc, you know, bread, sliced bread. So if it turns and it don't go to you, we don't need to fight over the bread. All right, let's have it. Look, that's right. I mean, he's like, if I can't eat it, I'm out of here. Amen. All right. No, I understand this morning. So John chapter 6, I hope you found those two places. I just want you to see here that Jesus is the bread of life in John chapter 6. He says that, claims it for himself. The book of Ecclesiastes, just to give you a small amount of introduction this morning, the word actually is a derivative of the word that we use, church. The word church means ecclesia. So part of this word is actually part of, it's a called out. The beginning part of this word, where we call a called out assembly of ecclesia, this Ecclesiastes is defined as the preacher. And the preacher here is Solomon writing the book, but he's writing it under the inspiration of God. He's just going to tell, it's a tell-all book on man. He just tells everything. Again, God has given him the wisdom, and God through the Holy Spirit gives him all these different experiences in his own life, but then inspires his words as he pens them down and just writes who we really are as people. He writes about our lives as humans, and he comes full circle. And really, without the bread of life, without the Lord Jesus, he comes and concludes everything vanity. You could be as rich as you want to be, but without eternal life through Jesus Christ, it's vanity. It's a vain life. You could live this life and you could have all the joys and pleasures of this life, but if you don't live eternally, it's just vanity. This 70 to 90, maybe 100 years because of modern medicine, so-called. Amen. Even 100 years is but a vapor. It just passes by. I'm looking at a bunch of folks that maybe have had a couple more birthdays than I have, and you realize even like I do, where did it go? It's passed by just like that. And we could take all the things and balance all the things that maybe we did good, but really, if we're honest and we're saved, we would say that all those things that I did for me were vanity. But the things that are going to last for eternity. I mean, folks, I'm excited about the memorial. We want that thing to be a memorial, but it's not a memorial of people, but of what Jesus has done with people. This gauge over here, you could say, well, what is all that money going to? Missions. Getting the Lord Jesus, the bread of life, around the world. That's not vanity. You know, people walk into this building and say, these people give that kind of money away every year. Yeah, they give that kind of money away every year to make sure that souls get the bread they desperately need. In this age, before I begin preaching, just let me remind you that in this age, there is a predicted famine. And the famine in our day is not of food, it is for the Word of God. There are so many people groups that don't have a Bible in their language. There are so many people groups that have never heard one time what I have heard over and over again throughout this life, and that is Jesus saves. Folks, our whole existence as Christians is bound up in getting the bread of life out to other people. So in John chapter 6, before we read, I'd like to pray and just ask the Lord to bless our time together. And let's pray now. Dear Lord, I come to you, Lord, the best way I know how. Lord, this morning people have been busy. I see the number on the backboard. People have picked up folks for church, and people are in all these classes. Lord, I pray not only for the auditorium now, but for all the junior church classes, Lord, that young people would hear about the bread of life, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and how He can save, and Him alone can save. God, I pray that people today would accept the finished work of Jesus Christ and pass from death unto life. But more than that today, God, I ask, Holy Spirit of God, go into the hearts of our people that know you, that are saved and on the way to heaven, that help give us a burden today, Lord, to cast bread to lost and dying world. Help us today, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 6, Jesus is speaking to the Jews, and they have come to a place where they're going to tell him that what about this bread? He's going to talk to them about bread, and the bread that he's talking about lasts forever. He's going to say, you eat this and you're never going to hunger again. But they're saying, hey, well, what about Moses? Moses gave us bread. And Jesus doesn't often get tight. But boy, listen, when you start talking about something that his father did, that Moses received, but that God the Father sent down from heaven, Jesus kind of, I can hear his voice. You know, you talk to a teacher. You ever been in a classroom? How many of you were ever a student in school? How many of you just quit before you went to kindergarten? All right, so here we go. So, I mean, you go in there, and, you know, I always knew when the teacher was serious. Because when I asked a stupid question, he'd say, I said. Or the voice level went up a bit. You know, we live in a day and age where people think that's bullying. I think that's the teacher showing who's boss. And it would be a whole lot better if parents would teach their kids who's boss instead of the teacher having to teach them. Amen and amen. You said, boy, you broke stride there. Boy, I'm on track. All right, I hope you're tracking. In verse 35, we find, let's go back to verse 32 so you can get the context. Verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, folks, you may think that that is a just happenstance of the Word of God, but every word is perfectly placed in our Bible. Jesus says that everybody that comes to him will he in no wise cast out. I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, if you would, this morning. And I want you to see here, the Bible is going to command, and he is speaking. There are all kinds of smart guys who write commentaries, and and there are other guys who maybe aren't so smart that can't discern them that read them. But everything that I could read on this passage of Scripture, no one writes about the Lord Jesus Christ. No one makes a reference to him in the New Testament. They take this scripture here, and again, you can see it easily. Look at chapter 11, verse number 1. It says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be." The very first verse says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Now, the idea that is everyone writes down is this is an investment. This is putting out investments and then watching them return. And we could say amen to that in so many different things that you would make with maybe an investment in a business or if you bought Tesla stock and it came back and people actually bought electric cars and then it came back, or, you know, maybe if the government regulated the system so much that you could get paid for a car that it costs more to make it than they sell it for. Anyway, so I don't want to get into all that, but I mean, if you went through the whole process of all the things of putting out a investment and getting a return, that is what the scripture's talking about. Even more so, they go on into verse 2 and say that, like I was always taught, you better be careful not to put all your eggs in the same basket. You say, what do you mean? You know, if you got all your eggs in the same basket and you trip on the way to the house, all the eggs get broke. So you're better off going with smaller baskets so that if you trip one basket, maybe you can save one of them, right? I'm trying to go old school farm on you. I don't know how many of you ever picked up eggs before, but one of the things you want to make sure you don't break the rotten ones. You ever smelled a rotten egg? I recently have had the pleasure of doing that. The whole house smelled like that. I'm not really sure why we did it, but maybe just to show our kids what that was like. We've got chickens at our house, and we have eggs in the backyard, and they've been picking them up. How many of you know how to check whether an egg is rotten or not? How do you learn that? You watch it on Google. So you put it in water. The rotten ones float, folks. The gas is inside of that thing that you're going to smell if you crack it. And so my wife and my daughter put those things in a pot, and one of them floated. So what do you do with that? You throw it away. You don't crack it open and see what it smells like inside the house. And in her defense, she said, I just kind of looked at it, and then it exploded in my hand. It was very rotten. But you know, like every good wife, maybe like Eve in the garden, she wasn't happy with getting rid of it. She brought it to me so that I could have part in it. Amen? Now, that had nothing to do with the message, but I had to tell on her. I mean, no, but I mean, so many times when we're talking about eggs and putting them in the same basket and getting back, we diversify our funds, because if one thing doesn't turn out and we don't get the return that we expected, when we diversify, you can see how that works, not only in money. And that's where everyone has said, but I want you to take and think of this spiritually, not just in a financial aspect, but think about when you diversify the things that you're a part of. Too many times when we think about the gifts and the investment that God has made in us, that every one of us have gifts differing, the scripture says. Every one of us have different abilities to give to different ministries. Every one of us have different abilities in the way that we could serve. Some of us can do that in multiple different ways. Tonight, when we have this different ministry job fair, the whole idea there is for you to get an idea of what God can do with you in His work. And the idea is this. I want you to see, guys, can I get this wireless mic in the pulpit? Can you turn that on so I can be heard here? All right, they got me. Now, I wanted to make sure, I mean, if I'm gonna reference the Lord Jesus, I'm not gonna get a dollar loaf of bread. I'm gonna get Wonder Bread. Now, some of you ladies out there right now, I just talked about investments and expenditures, and you realize I'm holding a $4 loaf of bread. And some of them are thinking, is he really going to throw a $4 loaf of bread? Yes, because why would I buy the junkiest bread I could get when I'm talking about the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Now, this bread here, it says in the scripture to cast thy bread upon the waters. Now, this is one of them twisty ties. Not all these bread loaves. That's one of the reasons why it's $4. They still put a piece of wire on here instead of a piece of plastic that you can never get to hold on to it again. You know what I'm talking about? This seals out. You know, air is the enemy to bread. Now, first of all, if I was going to cast my bread upon the water, how do you do that, preacher? Well, you tell other people about Jesus. That's the picture we're talking about. Maybe you start out with a track across the pump. Look, these guys are getting ready. Do not eat the bread. All right. I don't know when the last time you ate, but don't eat my bread. All right. All right. All right. So we're going to cast it to people close to us, right? We're going to see the people we see on a daily basis. We're going to make sure, hey, you can have some bread too. Jesus saves, my brother. Come down to the church and hear the preacher preach this Sunday. Why don't you come out to church? Amen. And then maybe I'm going to go a little farther back. Amen. Look, you smile way too much when you got that bread, all right? Don't eat that bread. All right. Now, I mean, but then what am I going to do? Once I've done my local area, I mean, the Bible gives us a great commission to go, what? I mean, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. So I'm going to start throwing to Judea, right? Hey, if you get bread, hold on to it. Now, don't eat it, all right? Now, I got half a loaf left here, so y'all are going to get some bread here. All right. I have got to give her bread. Amen. All right. In Samaria. Amen. Amen. Oh, she wants some bread over here. Amen. There we go. There's some bread. All right. So we got all this bread, right? We're casting the bread upon the water. What does the Bible say it's going to do? It's going to come back after many days. You want some bread, brother? All right, here's some bread for you too. I didn't have to throw it at you, right? I don't want to leave out these folks on the other side of the church. You know? Because we ought to spread the bread around, right? Not just on the east side of the church or the west side of the church, but it's one church, right? Amen? This young lady needs some bread right here, right? Brother Williams, you want some bread? Amen. Brother Vic, you're a deacon. You need bread, brother. Here you go, brother. I'm going to give you the heel, all right? Most people don't want to heal, right? So you cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, it'll come back. Now, I want you to see in the scripture, if we're applying it, this is the bread of life. Men that'll eat will never hunger, never thirst. Now, if I asked them, you say, well, what's going to happen here? You know what the church is supposed to do? We're supposed to go and cast bread. And after many days, maybe the bread will come back. What do we teach them? What do? We baptize them. And then teach them, disciple them. To do what? Cast bread. You say, preacher, I don't know if I've ever cast bread in my whole entire life. Listen, it may have been many days in your Christian life, and you may have never had the opportunity. But why don't you get to casting bread? I mean, why don't you think about, hey, you know what? Well, what, preacher, what do I do? Well, maybe you need to go to one of the soul-winning training times and learn how to cast bread so you feel confident enough. Maybe you can start out by just taking some tracts with you and casting the tracts out and handing them to people. This morning, out on my bus route, running the van around, I stopped at a convenience store, walked in purposefully, bought something and said, I want to invite you to church. Amen. It's just that easy. Before they're already going to reach out because they're going to give me my money back for change, right? Well, at least as long as it's not COVID going on, they'll give you change, right? But I cast my bread upon the water. Now, if I asked right now, what would we do? We cast the bread, and I saw a couple pieces fall on benches, and it landed, and nobody caught it. But if we were going to say, even this morning, we diversified it across the whole auditorium. Now, I don't want you to do this right now, but if I asked you to have, if you had bread, to come to the front and stand here and to throw your bread back to the people that are in the seats. And then those people came forward and threw their bread. And we could keep doing that until the auditorium was saved and was in the front of the auditorium because people continued to cast bread. How do you win your town to Christ? You keep casting bread. You keep casting bread. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? Well, even in this area, look at verse number 2. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. There are two things that I thought about. When you think about a portion to 7 and maybe to 8, or a portion to 7 and the way the scripture says also to 8, do you know right now, I believe that God knows everything. Do you know that he knows how many people were going to be on planet Earth right before he returned? So let's say God said, let's give a portion to every one of the billion people that are going to be on planet Earth. Cast your bread upon the water for the 7 billion, also to 8. Do you know there's a chance that if Jesus doesn't come soon, that there could be close to 8 billion people on planet Earth before he comes? And the scripture just given us that overview. How about this? Do you know if you break down the times? Hey, you ought to cast bread because, listen, while you have time. Do you know that the Bible breaks down the dispensations of time into 7 dispensations? And if you were to take, you say also to 8. We always say 7, but you know, if we took the tribulation period and added it as a dispensational period, you'd have 8. Because we lump it into the last dispensation. But listen, do you know there's enough bread for every dispensation of time? God gave bread for every group of people of all time to believe either in the coming Messiah or the one that has already come. Do you realize that those 7 billion people, every one of them are in our dispensation? So how are you going to win them to Christ? You cast bread. You find different ways to cast it. You know, this morning I threw it, but even for myself, you say, preacher, you got a pretty good arm. Yeah, but bread don't fly the same way a baseball does. Do you know sometimes we may need to make some kind of airplane, like a good sized little, maybe a drone, and drop bread on the back row. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm just saying, you know, in every age of man, we have the internet now. We have a radio, all the different diversities. Why do we pick kids up and bring them? Because they don't have a car to come in, or no one will bring them. All the different ministries of our church is just a different way to cast bread. It's just a different way to reach the people that Jesus once reached. It's just a different way to cast bread. 7 or 8? I don't know about you, but man, that's exciting to me that not only did Jesus say, I mean, if we're thinking about it in financial terms, that it's a different dispensation of time, that Jesus had that plan from the beginning of everything, that he wanted every man to be saved in every dispensation. He says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. That to me speaks of time. We live in an evil day. Do you know this world started out with such an evil day? All the way back to where they finally had to flood the earth and kill every man, woman, boy, animal, except for the ones that got in the ark. Do you know that they believed that if you ran and tried to add up how many people were on the earth in that day, they believe that it's going to be the same number of people that are on the earth in our day when Jesus comes. That days of Noah, it's not just the evil. It's the amount of people that we need to cast bread to. You say, preacher, I don't know about this. Look at the next scripture. It says, it's different. It says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the trees, look, fall towards the, look at that, the south or towards the north. It doesn't say east or west. And the place where it falleth, there it shall be. Do you know that the Christian, I believe, in our age, is a lot like a cloud?
Right.
We drift through this time period. And if we're really following the Lord, we ought to be directed by the Spirit of God, who is often in the Scripture seen as wind or breath and drives and moves the Christian to the place that he ought to reign on and cast bread. To be in just in the right place at the right time. What does it mean to be in the will of God? You know, and I just like a cloud, I've noticed this with Christians. When we get full, we can't help but dump out rain.
Right. Amen.
When we're thankful that Jesus has saved us, when we read his scripture and we get excited about the things of God, when we come to church and we're going out the back door, a lot of times we'll grab tracts because right then, right there, we're ready to cast bread. We're ready to attack hell with a squirt gun and make sure that everybody in our town is saved and on their way to heaven. But then something happens. We get into the week. And we're not as full as we once were. Still moving around. Still trying to follow the Lord's direction, but not always ready to rain. Do you know there's a lot of clouds in Florida? I've watched them. You can kind of look at them from a distance. You see them come over. But there's some that you look at them and they're on their way. And you can see that joker's full. That thing is gonna bust loose when it gets here. Sometimes you can see it coming because it's raining on its way to you. You know, this is one of the only places I've ever been where it was raining in the backyard, not in the front. And I mean full on raining. But you can see the cloud, and it's such a good picture for us. Too many times as Christians, the reason people don't get bread cast to them is because we don't get ourselves ready. Because we don't fill up on the bread of life. We don't allow the Word of God to fill us up to a place where we got bread. You know, and I know this may be a bad analogy for you, but for me, once I become a Christian, I want to be baking bread on a daily basis. I want to have a loaf ready for the world. If I don't pick up tracts, I'm not ready. I can't reach in my pocket and throw slices to everybody that I see because I didn't fill up on them. If I don't get in the Word of God, sometimes somebody will ask me a question, and just the place I would have been in my devotions that morning would have been just the answer they need. Sometimes we let the day go by and we don't ever wake up in the morning, spend time with God and say, God, bring into my path. You say, preacher, why'd you give a tract? What were you doing at a convenience store? I never go to convenience stores on Sunday morning. But I asked God to put someone in my path this morning that I could be a witness to. And I have no idea how many days that bread will be on the water before it comes back. But today, God changed my whole plan of what I was going to do this morning and took me to a convenience store that I had no business being at except for he blew my cloud down to Dundee. And I stopped and got out of the vehicle and I reached in my pocket because I was full of bread. And I said, I want you to come to our church. Best church on planet Earth. You're going to have to forgive the preacher, but we sure would like to have you. You say, preacher, why? Because I asked God. Do you know God? It's God's will that people get saved. It's God's will that they get rained on. And I want to be a cloud that rains. You say, preacher, why are you preaching on this on a Sunday morning? Because I desperately want folks to bake bread on a daily basis.
Yep.
You know, we even write a devotional so that you can spend time with God, and just gives you a little encouragement to be in it and be in the Word of God so that you can bake a little bread and have an answer and cast the bread on a daily basis. We have tracts. We do all that we can do for you to try to encourage you. We're going to set up a ministry job fair so you can be here tonight and be a part of this ministry. Get plugged in and help us hand you bread. We're ready for you to bring your delivery truck and pick up the bread and take it out. We want desperately to stand before the Lord Jesus one day and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Now, I want you to see this before I close today. All of you that got bread, if you're able, if you could come stand in the front. Just stand real quick. Just come, and I'm gonna head for home. If you'd come and just stand and hold your bread up so everybody could see it. You don't have to hold it high. Just hold it in front of you. Don't eat it. If there's a bite mark missing out of it, you're in trouble. Say, "Preacher, why you got all these folks?" Now, I told you, if we had folks come down to the front and throw their bread out, and then people caught that bread and came to the front and threw their bread out, all of a sudden, a lot of people be saved. But in my life, one day, I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus, the righteous judge, and I'm not going to answer for my sin because he paid for them. They're under the blood. He's not going to say, "Why'd you do this?" or "Why didn't you do that? Why did you sin in this way?" He's covered them. He's going to say, "What sin?" Because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. But he's going to stand before me. I'm going to stand before him. And I'm going to stand there, and he's going to say, "All right, I want you to see something." He talks about gathering our works. Some of them he called wood, hay, and stubble, precious stone. I mean, he goes through the list of things. But for the illustration of the message, can I tell you what he's going to count? He's going to start counting bread. "That I cast upon the water, and it returned after many days." He's going to have, we've heard songs about it. Can you imagine that day when Jesus says, "Now I want everybody that's here because of him to come and stand here. And when he counts my bread," I'm telling you, this is what's going to determine. Some of these people I will have never met. I put a track on their door and I won't know. Some of them I gave money and it went to missions and I never knew what happened to them. But one day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus and this will determine whether I hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," because of what I did with the bread of life. You may be seated. He says this, folks. Read the scripture with me, the last verse, and we'll be done. "If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be." I see some eternality in that verse. The Bible doesn't give us an option for the tree falling to the east or to the west. The tree falls north or south. And I think it's interesting in the idea for it saying that. Do you know that for my life, I realized that I had no power in myself? I could stand. And I was given the gospel as like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I had the opportunity to wither up and die, or whether to flourish because I asked Christ to come into my heart and save me. And one day, every tree will fall. Trees are not eternal. And the option here, you know, you're not going to get to choose east, west, north, or south. The determination has already been made. Every man, woman, boy, or girl will fall to the north towards heaven because of what they did with Jesus Christ. And that's where they'll be. Or they'll fall to the south. Because that is not because of the will of God, because God sent his son to die on Calvary for you. To pay for your way to heaven. But every man, because of our sin is already. You ever seen a tree that's already leaning? You ever seen a tree that looks so bad like it's going to fall on the car? And I've seen some of them lean for years. And every day you say, man, I ought to cut that tree down before it falls on my car or on my house. It's leaning towards the house. It's leaning towards the south. Do you know that every man is born with a lean? And it isn't towards heaven. It's a lean towards the south and on the way to hell. Because we're born in sin. Not because we're sinners, but because our father Adam was a sinner. And sin passed upon all men. I'm born with a lean in the wrong direction. But I'm thankful that Jesus came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid for my way. And I can tell you, I was leaning the wrong way. I was leaning way the wrong way. But I remember I heard the gospel and I started to straighten up a little bit. And I heard the gospel and I started to straighten up a little bit. And then finally one day I realized that I had to make it. I knew the way to follow the right way. I just had to accept him as my Savior. And I remember walking down an old island, falling on my face before God and accepting Jesus Christ. I accepted the bread of life because somebody had over and over again. And I can tell you from my life, it was 15 years from 5 to 15 I was in church. And they kept casting bread at me and casting bread at me and casting bread at me. And after many days, the bread came back. Folks, I've been casting bread since I was 15 years old because bread was cast to me. And one day I realized that if I eat this bread, I would never hunger and I'd never thirst. And from that day till this, folks, I've not been looking for bread. I've been looking to bake it and cast it to others because I realized how hungry I was. I realized how lost I was, how finality, how eternal that fall would have been if I fell the wrong direction. That scripture says where the tree falls, it's going to stay. Amen. Folks, there are people that believe if you go to hell, somebody can pray you out of there. That's not true. That's not in the Bible. If you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, your eternity will be in a devil's hell. Not because of what Jesus did. What he did was die for you so you could go to heaven. But it's because of what you didn't do with Jesus Christ. Do you know today you could be saved? That scripture talks about falling north or south. Today, your life, you could have a lean. You could have it finished. Do you know sometimes I think about it. Do you know the Bible talks to so many people talk about having something predetermined or prepared. And they always want to say people are born to go to heaven. That's not how it works. And I've heard old preachers, they would say, the devil came and he cast a vote against me. And Jesus came and casted a vote for me. And I get to cast the deciding vote. I get to choose what I do with Jesus and whether I go to heaven or hell. Today, you are posed with that question. Folks, some of you have already made that decision and you're on your way to heaven. Let me ask you this. There are other people that need to make that decision, but they've never heard. Are you willing to start casting bread to them? If you're here and you're not sure, you've never had bread cast to you, but today you realize that Jesus is the bread of life and that you could accept him as your Savior and you could spend eternity in heaven, boy, I ask you to do that today. The reason that we met today as a church body, number one, it was commanded of us of Jesus Christ so that we could give you an opportunity to accept the bread of life as your Savior. If you're here and you're saved, boy, today, boy, I would just make a decision to use your gifts for the Lord Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed as the musicians come, let me ask you this. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven, would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you today? If you're like that and you're in the building, say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to know that. Pray for me. Is there anybody like that in the building today? I see that hand. I thank you for raising it. I'm going to pray for you. But better than that, why don't you do this? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, right before I pray, why don't you just step out and come to the front? Is there anybody else that'd be like that? While heads are bowed, people are still seated. You're here and you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Would you accept the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning? Would you call on Him as your Savior? I'm going to pray as I promised I would. How many of you are here and you're saved and on your way to heaven, but you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me that I'd cast bread. Pray for me that I'd get back to casting bread, or maybe cast it for the first time." I see those hands. Would you slip it up and let me pray for you? Amen. I'm going to pray here. Let's stand to our feet as I pray. As the music plays, let's pray together. Dear Lord, I pray You'd be with us. Help us this morning, Lord. Help us to get to the altar and just make a good promise to You, that not to the preacher, but to You, Lord, that we'd cast the bread of life to people who are lost and dying. Help those that are here that don't know Christ, that today they be saved. Help the folks that need to join our church to step out this morning and join. We ask it all in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. I ask it, amen. Brother Bert, would you sing?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to
bowed and eyes are closed this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ, would you step out and come? Maybe you're just not sure. You know about Him. You've heard about Him. You believe in Him, but you've never accepted Him as your Savior. Would you step out this morning and get it settled in your heart? Just ask Him to be your personal Savior. Why don't you step out and come this morning if you're like that? Maybe you're here and you need to join the church either through baptism or move a letter. Why don't you step out and come while people are praying as Brother Bert sings?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich as He, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Folks have come and they're being dealt with. I appreciate your patience this morning, but why don't you pray? I know right now across our property, young people are being saved. Young people are in an invitation as well. Why don't you pray for them as we wait on these? But maybe you're here and you need one more invitation. The invitation that you've never been in a church like this maybe before, where they give an invitation for folks to come forward and make a decision for Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." Why don't you step out and come? Let us take a Bible and show you for Bible reasons why you will go to heaven. Why don't you step out and come as Brother Bert sings?
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God.
Appreciate everybody listening so well. You can keep the bread, and you may be seated while we just give you a few announcements here. And you can eat the bread now if you want. It might be stale, but I got no bread left to give you this morning. And all right, this morning we have with us here Miss Mary and her husband Richard. If you'll come and stand right here with me. And how do you say your last name? Is Tipson or Tustin? That's right. All right, Tustin, and they've come, and they're moving their membership from a First Baptist Church out in Texas. We've met with these folks out in Mesquite, and they knew Brother Ross, amen? And so they said, I looked over there, and I said, I know you folks, amen? And they knew them, all right? And so they're coming this morning to move their membership. Everybody that would welcome them in with a right hand of fellowship, amen. And so, Carrie, if you'll just stay here for just a second with me, we'd like for folks to be able to welcome you into our fellowship. And then we had someone come this morning my wife was dealing with. Good morning. All right. Okay. Lori and Lori comes this morning accepting Christ as her Savior. Amen. Lori, would you stand up here with me so folks can see you? And she's going to get baptized later, she said, after this. But how many would welcome her into the fellowship right this morning? Amen. So, Lori, if you'll come and stand with these folks here, the Tustins, and everybody else, if you'll stand, we're going to close out in prayer. Before we pray, let me just encourage you to be back tonight. Amen. And we're going to have a good time. And I want you to come and see if I can set the record. I want you all to have your stopwatches. It's the only time I'm going to encourage you to really watch the time on the preacher, all right? I want you to be back tonight and enjoy the fellowship with us and just see all the things that your church does, amen, and be a part of it, amen. We're going to ask you, Brother Congdon, if you'll come and pray for us, and then you come and welcome these folks into fellowship.
Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Father, we thank you for the great preaching. Thank you for the man of God. Thank you for our pastor delivering the message this morning that spoke to our hearts. Father, help us to see what you'd have us to see this morning. Father, just thank you again for these folks joining with us and the lady that got saved this morning. And Lord, just thank you again for all you've done this morning. We look forward now to an afternoon you'll give us and be with us on our trip back to church tonight. And we look forward to what you have for us here. We thank you and praise you for everything now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.